Okay. So let's just start. Let's start with some fun stuff. Yeah, you'll have to sit not there. You're a little further over. Let's start with the fun stuff. What negative pleasures did you all come up with? Yeah, please, everybody, quiet down. Being gossiping, catty. Okay, about what? Okay. Okay. Everybody, can we please, gang? Can we please settle? Okay, we need the microphone. Okay, so we had catty and using gossip as a way to make yourself feel better about yourself. Okay? All right. Now, go ahead.
Being in defense and using the defensive side of your profile.
Like what?
Being a charismatic leader / enforcer is, it's my way or the highway, or I'll just cut your head off.
My way or the highway, or cut the head off. Perfect.
And I'll turn around and just walk away.
Okay.
All right, so I started with gossip, but it's really something that I've been trying to work at. So my negative pleasure around it is when I'm in a situation where people are gossiping, to be like, oh, no, no. You know, I don't really feel comfortable talking about that.
Nice. Okay, so controlling. So once again, controlling with, you know, talk, you know, being able to control conversation by saying I'm above that now, or maybe you started the conversation, then you're like, oh, well, you know, you all are now this lower level of person. Yeah, no, so you can see how negative pleasures are about making yourself feel better. You know, sort of like your mask is designed to make yourself feel better about the fact that, you know, all sorts of things about you, but it's just, so the one-up is a real big one. Yes, absolutely. Who else? Yep.
Being super nice when your partner's angry.
Being super nice when your partner's angry. Nice. Okay. All right. And can you just make sure that's on?
Yeah.
The little light's on. Okay. Being super nice when your partner's angry. That's perfect. You know. So that's. And because you're doing it. First of all, there's two sides of it. One is, and I want you to understand that even in those other ones, we're not really talking about evil here. We're not even necessarily talking about the mask. Some of those things are just lower self fun, okay? When you do it with a charge, remember, anything that comes out of your mask, anything that's a really negative charge is going to come out sort of in a kind of like you just can't help yourself. But when you're doing that, when you're being nice, okay, because you have to, okay, because you don't want to make it any worse, all right, that's a negative pleasure of hurting yourself. When you're being nice because you're really an idiot. Oh, God. You know, I can see how you're really having a problem with that. You know, and you're not trying to lower the energy. You're trying to stick it in. Okay? All right, so yeah, so that's a negative. But the difference is that isn't necessarily a negative pleasure, it's a lower self pleasure. So you have to be watching carefully. I mean, if you're actually in your power, choosing to do what you're doing, it's a lower self jab, stab, slice, dice, whatever you're doing to them. Ultimately. Right, there you go. Thank you. Yeah, so say it again.
That the negative pleasure is the part of us that just enjoys our defense.
Right, but it doesn't, the key with the negative pleasure, and any other fun ones, let's just go with the fun ones, because some of these are good lower self sort of revealers for you. Anybody else have one that you want to share? Yeah.
I work with someone who is more of a know-it-all than me.
But you know better.
But I know better. So, because she just jumps right in at every moment with a fact, whether it's correct or not. So I've dubbed her Wikipedia.
And how many other people know that she's Wikipedia?
All of us.
Right. Now there's the lower self pleasure. Okay. But the negative pleasure is your rule keeper that knows she's an idiot and can't stand the fact that she's allowed to speak when she's so dumb. That's the negative pleasure. The negative pleasure is that because the negative pleasure has a little negative charge to it too. Okay? And there's that sort of like, it sort of gets you. And then you can kind of have your negative pleasure to call her Wikipedia and have that sort of stuff. And that's a little bit, but that's owning the fact that I'm having an issue with this. Okay? You're not dealing with your life from the lower self when there's a problem, not being able to deal with it, not being able to wrestle with it, not being able to sort of look at sort of, all right, well, this is how I'm gonna get her back. Okay? What you end up doing is getting her back in other ways. The next time she's wrong, you make sure that in a memo to the boss, you remind the boss that she was wrong this many times already, and that she really shouldn't be in charge of that, and you should be. Right, but that's a negative pleasure. There's no pleasure in that. That's all mask. That's all. I'm going to tell. You know, I'm going to control this way. So, you rule keepers. Being a rule keeper, you love being a rule keeper. I love it when things line up. And it's a negative pleasure to be that. Okay, charismatic leaders. You love the negative pleasure of controlling, manipulating, you know, people. But it's when you do it unconsciously. It's when you have to do it. It's when someone steps up and you have to take them down right away, rather than playing with it. You know, rather than sort of going, "Oh, you want a piece of this?" Very different than going, "Bam, you are so dead," and just using your fifth chakra and cutting them down. The quick. That's negative pleasure. The negative pleasure of being right. Being negative pleasure will make you right and isolated. Okay? Because a negative pleasure is really being evil to the other person. It's negating someone else. So you can be gossiping, okay? Just because it's fun to gossip and it's like, oh, crazy, you know, and we gossip. But within gossip doesn't have to necessarily be the malicious, I'm angry at her because she's an enforcer and she's kicking my ass and I hate her, okay? It can just be, wow, you know, did you see the crazy outfit she's wearing? You know, it's not coming from that. It's not coming from, my intention, my malicious intention to isolate and to get them and to be alone. We have somebody has the mic though.
If I come into the house and let's say that I've asked my kids, family, whatever, to do something, and it hasn't gotten done, and I get really pissed off, I will make my family pissed off, and then I'll feel better.
Nice. Now that's a true negative pleasure right there. Okay, because then it becomes painful for everybody.
Yeah.
All right. So did you hear what she said? She said that by the way, this is what couples do, so be really careful, especially if you're going to go and start doing the intimacy dance. If you're down and your partner comes in high, you have to bring him down. Okay?
Hard.
You have to bring him down. Your job, you cannot help yourself. You will have to bring them down to your level, and as soon as they do, you'll notice your energy's down, you're like, oh, it's like you wouldn't believe the day, the kids, and this, and that, and he's like, well, what do you want? And then you're like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now we're in it. Now you're as fucked as I am. So now we're really a couple. Yeah. And then you self-righteously kill him.
What's wrong with you?
Right. What is the matter with you? Do you know how bad my day was? I just told you how bad my day was. What is this? How can it all be about you? Do you see? So now, just like Eckhart Tolle talks about, you are just looking for somebody to drain the poison into. Okay? That's a draining the poison. Draining the poison is a negative pleasure. I've got this energy. I got this emotion. Here you go.
Is that an energy vampire?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And it goes either way. Yeah. Yeah. It's not. It wouldn't. The energy vampire is more somebody that just talks you out of your energy, and sort of depresses you. It can be a little bit of that. But it's more like this. There's a negative pleasure in, remember in the Devil and Miss Prim, his whole element, the whole premise of evil was that once you are victimized in your life, your mission becomes to have resentment. What's the term? You got to get everybody else to have as much suffering as you do to prove that there's justice. So you self-righteously try to get everyone else to suffer as well. I want you all to experience what I've had to experience. And so that's the child. That's the baby in the world. That's the immature energy. But it's like it seems so real at the time. It's like, I've had this. You've got to be there with me. How dare you not be there with me?
I felt like moving to Atlanta, like I could say to the rest of my family, okay, screw you guys. You didn't pay attention or appreciate me then, I'm out of here.
Right.
So I think I got some pleasure in being able to do that.
You did. So now that's a...
I think
that's
I did,
a,
yeah.
I did.
I finally got one negative pleasure I can own here.
Just wait till I stop talking and then you'll see what other... So what did you do though? You really wanted family. You couldn't deal with family. So... the negative pleasure is, I'm out of here. But now who loses what you needed, which was a healthy family? So the negative pleasure looks like it's going to be good. It always looks like, negative pleasure always looks like you're going to be better off for it. But you aren't when it comes from negative pleasure. Okay? When it comes from, and there may be lots of reasons why you moved to Atlanta, and a lot of them good reasons that feed you. But anything you do to get away from, okay, is never going to feed you. That's what I was saying. Your goal cannot be to stop doing something or to finish something or to get somebody else to behave a certain way. It can't be that. It has to be something you desire. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't desire, if your calling wasn't to go to Atlanta, you're going to find a way to find a good reason to go. It's like, well, at least I'm getting away from these idiots. So that is a negative pleasure because it isolates you when you're actually here to do a lot of work with how do I actually work through issues with family. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed like a safe thing, but then ultimately now you've got a long, you're trying to build another family down there. Mm-hmm. Okay? So just notice that what looks like a good thing, sometimes it has both sides to it. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so our negative pleasures will often, we're the ones that get hurt in negative pleasure because negative pleasure always isolates.
Revenge,
yeah.
Like, I'll fix this lion.
Right. Revenge, now, and revenge can come from both the lower self because can be from the lower self, or it can just be your pet peeve revenge, And where revenge really gets tricky is that once you've been wounded in one situation, you apply that to every person of the same gender, the same age, the same kind of relationship, the same kind of thing, and you will vent that sort of retribution on these people that are totally innocents. You just make the assumption, man, this size, dark hair, did this, my teacher did it, boom, you're it. You are now going to get my rage, and that's a huge negative pleasure. The negative pleasure of being a victim is massive. Most of your negative pleasures come from your wounds, okay? And so for those of you that keep your shit together, excuse me, Mina, I'm just using the lower self terms. Keeping those of you that really are holding yourself together, okay, your negative pleasure is being better than those people that are always wounded and always acting out. That's a massive negative pleasure. You're no less wounded. You had no less trauma. You are no less a child in how you're dealing with it. You just have now negated it completely. So if you're a thinker or a rule keeper, it's like, I've had trauma, and it's just like, yeah, I know that's a problem for you. It's not a problem for me.
Yeah.
That's a huge negative pleasure. And when a poor me comes into your office to talk to you, you know, or a charismatic leader comes in and goes, oh my God, you would have seen his betrayal and this and that. You're just like, wow, you are just an emotional wreck, aren't you? You poor thing. You know, you should deal with it the way I deal with it. Yeah, don't. And life is good. It's all perfect that way. So understand that negative pleasure comes in every form. You need to watch yours, and yours will be directly related to your profile. Okay, so, of course, I want to get through some of this. I mentioned yesterday when we were talking about the mask. Wait a minute. Okay. This is the mask. There's just picture there's a mask here. This is our mask. We held the board out yesterday. And the energy, the pure life energy, gets channeled into it from our vows not to be, you know, I can't be all this in the chakra, so I have to put it somewhere. I have to put it out. And there's only half of me that gets shown. And half of me that gets shown in that chakra, that limited, you know, that's why we look at a chakra. Is it spinning a six or is it a two? Okay? How much of that chakra is open is how much of the life is going to flow through it. And if there's not a lot of energy in the chakra, there's probably a lot of energy in the mask. Now, the key to understand about the mask is that the Garden of Eden story is the story of when we became, when Cro-Magnon man and Australopithecus or whoever these crazy ape humans. Humanoids were when the cerebral cortex was able to self-reflect. That means it moved above the third chakra. Remember, the fourth chakra is about self-reflection. As the consciousness, 100,000 years ago, was able to self-reflect and not just see the world coming at them, but literally realize there's something in me that isn't just my body. Okay, that's when we became conscious. And what we became conscious of is that we are, and we have upper chakras, and we are therefore gods. Okay? And the greatest gift that we got, the greatest gift that consciousness gives us, is that we can say no to the flow of life. An animal can't say no to the flow of life. A dog cannot be a dog, cannot not be a dog. A bear cannot not be a bear. But you can be a charismatic leader and say, I'm an emotional intelligence specialist. Right? And you could kill anybody who tells you you're not. You can create any illusion you want about the universe. You actually, and I want you to get this really clear, when you make this, you make a universe, just like God did. And it's as big a pain in the ass to you as God's universe is to him. What was he thinking? It's what you create. It's what you create when you can't deal with this universe. See, the baby can't deal with the fact that they're human and spiritual and have all this stuff. They can't deal with it. The immature soul cannot deal with the fact that I have to be here on earth and everything that's happening is happening for a reason and I'm just going to deal with it. I'm going to be, and everything that happens is going to empower me. And so when you can't deal with reality and you have the capacity to fragment your consciousness, which is what God can do and be in multiple places at one time, you fragment your consciousness and create a false world that doesn't have that stuff in it. And it's not that it doesn't have that stuff in it, it's that you're going, la, 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 la. That's what your mask is. Your mask is crazy. And it doesn't exist anywhere but in your head. And in the suffering of all the people you know from your mask. Okay? Has everybody got that? That's a really important thing to get. You are a creator. You were given the right to choose between, by knowing what it is, between good and evil. We think it's between the devil and God or whatever our, whatever the stories say. But it's not. It's between owning up to who we really are and using all of our creative force to constantly bring this almost impossible thing of being a human being together. Using that power to be that. Because when you're that, life, everything that happens in life is a pleasure. Your suffering is real suffering. Your ecstasy is real ecstasy. You're not having ecstasy because you won the lottery. You aren't having ecstasy because you got control over something, you got a new job. You're having ecstasy because breathing is the most unbelievable thing. Recognizing that you have influence over people in your lives by just a thought. Having massive trauma, illness, loss in your life, grief, the depth of feeling that you have. A soul can't have that outside of a body, outside of this need to come into union with other people. We have this need to be in union, and so we can't figure out what it is, so our bodies through the second chakra try to literally energetically bond to people. Now, when we lose people in our lives, when a marriage breaks up or a child goes off to college or do something, we feel this huge amount of loss. But all it was that we had made that person a piece of our identity. When you feel you're losing something in your life, it's never from your core. You only can lose something from your mask. Your core is always whole. So if you're feeling like, boy, I wish I had that. Oh, I wish I, you know, it's like Wayne Dyer talks about dreams in a no-longer person. He said, when you wake up from a dream, sometimes they're great dreams. And you're like, oh, put me back there. I was just about to get it. You know, when I was, that was so good. It was put me back in the dream. And you're like, whoa. Who was in charge of the dream? Okay? And the dream is just that thing, that sort of thing that your mind can create. It isn't your life. It isn't here. There's nothing happening to you right now that isn't absolutely the thing that's waking you up. There's no part of the universe that stops supporting you 24 hours a day. Every second of the day, there's nothing that's ever not supported you, except when you're not home to recognize what it means. So if I think I'm this, all of the law of attraction stuff that comes to me doesn't really make any sense. How do I know? What should I do? In here, it makes sense. Okay, so let me just run through some of the basics here, and then we'll go to lunch. So the power to say no, just get that, understand that. The becoming conscious of good and evil meant that you could choose evil over good. Okay, you could choose to create something that's not real. You could actually create a safety zone for yourself so you don't have to live your life. That's what the ego is, or should I say the mask is. You need a strong ego, but the strong ego is more of a sense of feeling, not a sense of thinking. Remember, this is all feeling, consciousness. Consciousness means feeling. Mask means thinking. If you're thinking about who you are, you're in mask. A Okay, that's the and that's why I think a lot of psychotherapy is moving to more somatic work, so that both the psychology of things, both the mental element and the physical, are being worked at the same time. Just doing things mentally just polishes the mask. Okay, the challenge of evil. Okay, the challenge we have with evil is that in our ideology, you have to get rid of evil to be good. There's your problem. Yes? Consciousness is feeling. Consciousness is always a feeling. And it'll always root you to the present moment. And mask is always future and past thinking of your thoughts. It's like your ego, your sense of where I'm going, who I'm going to be. It's not good now. It'll be good later. I love this quote that she has in the book. Human nature is capable of an infinite amount of evil. Today, as never before, it is important that human beings should not overlook the dangers of the evil lurking within them. It is unfortunately all too real, which is why psychology must insist on the reality of evil. Psychology must insist on the reality of evil and must reject any definition that regards it as insignificant or actually non-existent. Carl Jung. Okay? It's really important to get that. And I'll talk about sin right now because when psychology buried sin, see, what's psychology? Psychology is the creation of the mind to study yourself. Okay? So it's going to create something that takes out the one thing that can actually hold you to your feet to the fire. Sin means that everything you do, you're responsible for, including the things that you did when you were in an altered state, which is the mask. But we have how many people getting off of, you know, heinous crimes because they were psychologically incapacitated? Well, you justify that, okay? And then let's bring it down to the reality. You let your children, spouse, sit on the couch when you needed them to get up and do the garbage because they're just dumbasses. Because they just don't know any better. You don't hold them to be responsible in the relationship for what a relationship is because they don't know any better. Anybody know that ring? You get it and shut it off? So it's important to understand that sin, even though the church used it to kill people and they used it from a mask place, okay, they used it to make some people good and some people bad, it was actually the most important concept. Sin means, and I think Eckhart Tolle broke down the entomology of the word, that sin ultimately is anything you do against the self, against the true self. Anything you know you're not supposed to do that you do. Okay? Now, and that's why psychology can say, well, they didn't know they weren't supposed to do it, so, as Carolyn May says, a spiritual habeas corpus for that person. It doesn't work that way. The fact that a person has put so little of their consciousness into their actions in their life does not mean they are not responsible for their actions. Okay? At some basic level, their soul is completely aware of what they're doing. And until you can hold people spiritually responsible, the culture will find ways to dodge responsibility. And we are a culture of people, a world of people, who don't take responsibility for almost anything. And that's where we're in trouble. So when you took sin out of it, you took responsibility for your actions out of it. And as much as psychology has done, it has also created a position where it can't heal itself without that deeper level of responsibility. Yes? It, whatever you tell me, anything you've just done in the last 24 hours.
What does taking responsibility mean?
Right. So what do you? What did you do you didn't want to do? Get up on time to come to the class. Right. Okay. So, you could hear in Mina's voice that she got up on time to come to the class because of Reese, that bastard. Okay? That's a completely irresponsible statement. She got her ass out of bed because she wanted to come to class because she really wants to get her ass kicked, and she just can't figure out how to do it on her own. But as long as she was irresponsible, as long as irresponsibility exists within you, you will consistently project out why you do things on other people. Anytime you say, this is why I'm doing this, you're lying. A responsible person says, I'm doing this, and I take full responsibility for everything I do. If I'm showing up on time, if I'm going to be here, I'm going to be here. Nobody tells me. Nobody can force you to do anything.
But there are repercussions of not doing.
Why don't people take responsibility? There may be there may be repercussions. There may be if I do this and then blame them, if it goes well, it was all about me. If it goes bad, it was all about them. Okay? So you never ever get to have the flow and the juice of life.
Must own it.
Right, must own it. Yes. All right, so I did a little looking on the internet. Great thing you ought to do to every now and then look up a concept. I looked up evil. wasn't hard to find a few people that had done some bad things. And I just have a short list here. Hitler, Idi Amin, Stalin, Caesar, Hamid Karzai, Attila the Hun, Ruhollah Khomeini, Queen Mary, Isabella of Castile, who started the Inquisition, where you talk about these bad men, Isabella of Castile, and who's now in line to become a saint, started the Inquisition. She's now in line to become a saint in the Catholic Church. Leopold II of Belgium, who basically killed the entire Congo just because he wanted a nice, a nice warm spot for himself. Pol Pot, Khmer Rouge, killed millions. Emperor Hito of Japan, Nazi prisoner camp, pleasure killers, Ilse Koch and Irma Gris are all are the current leaders of the Congo, Somalia, Iraq, Iran, North Korea, Myanmar, Afghanistan, the Catholic Church that killed and tortured an estimated 50 million people for not following the dictums of the Pope at the time, their silent and also their silent support of Hitler. And the church was funneling the Nazis through the Vatican to avoid prosecution, and they promote and currently promoting HIV as by rejecting contraception through just belief that if you're not a Catholic, if you are a Catholic, and the belief that if you're not a Catholic, you'll be sentenced to eternal damnation. Covering up the common abuse and rape of children by the clergy, and even those who would say and stand for good. Even those who would say they stand for good, USA, England, Italy, Soviet Union, China, all support wars of violence and killing, repression, and manipulation of the minds of hundreds of millions of people in the name of corrupt corporate interests and political and religious ideology. The stock exchange that teaches us to put profit above rape of the world's resources. So now we're talking about everybody. I mean, this was 10 minutes on the computer. Okay. So what we're talking about is a world of people who are living chakra 2 down. Third chakra becomes the awareness of your individual truth where no one can take away your responsibility. At the third chakra, you become responsible for everything you do. If you blame one person for anything in your life, you have not moved above the second chakra. Okay? So just so we get this is really important. You're in this class, you're reaching for partial third chakra awareness. That's all we're going for.
So, yeah, you just answered my question. I said, so basically in this life, we might make it to the third chakra, maybe, and yeah. Probably not, and that's it.
Right.
And only like the Buddhas and the Christs and...
Well, yeah, are going to get any above that. Yeah, I mean, that's like, we've only had a few of them. It's a handful of saints. I mean, by the way, all of our souls are on a saint sort of plan.
Trajectory.
But what we missed by reading Deepak Chopra and missed the sort of like the things is that it's like what she says, this is a, you know, when you do the path work, you know in your heart you're doing this for multiple lifetimes. You are training your soul in this lifetime just to discipline one small thing so you can have that much more energy coming into the next lifetime. I mean, yeah, it's like, but the key isn't that we're trying to live for the next lifetime, that would be mask. We're recognizing that we have to fully live the pleasure of life now.
That's all we got.
Right, it goes back in. So here's one that's really important. Fear of total pleasure. I want you to let this in. To the degree that personality is impaired by its integrity and impurity, dishonesty, cheating, and malice still exists in the psyche, pure pleasure must be rejected. Okay, so what happens is that within our truth, these things that can come up from the lower self, the malice, that, you know, that whole list I just read there, dishonesty, cheating, malice, impurity, as long as evil resides within us, we can't be the Joker. We don't allow ourselves to be Eminem sometimes, and then. You know, and then I don't know who's a great singer that everybody loves. You know, Mariah Carey. You know, another day. You know, we don't allow ourselves. What we do is we lop off the bad, and when we lop off any part of ourselves, remember ourselves are feelings. So we lop off the ability to feel who we are. When we say, I can't be all bad, well, I'm going to lop off, then it instantly lops off all the highest good as well. And we live in this much more contained life. Hence, the negative pleasure is the only way the entity can experience a modicum of pleasure at all. The pure life force flowing up from the earth and down from spirit into the core will negate that realizes, and I didn't say that, realizes self. Negate the idealized self and the thousands of identities that are within it. So what happens is that there's two things that are going on here. One is that we create the mask because to feel all of this would be to feel too much stuff. I mean, you came into the world and your parents are feeling of the human capacity and of their personal capacity. They were feeling this much, okay? Didn't matter how wild or crazy or whatever, they were feeling this much of what's possible. As a child, you do the same thing. And when that energy gets squeezed like that, it has to go somewhere because the life current never stops. So it has to go somewhere, so it goes into the false self. To feel all of this, okay, so now you've invested. Just think about when we talk about when we ask you where your second chakra is invested, how much was it going to cost you to do your goal? We're not talking about what it's going to cost over here. This is an infinite bank of money, energy, time, resources. You have an infinite well of energy. It's going to cost you on your ego. It's going to cost the mask, right? A good goal will be something that you will feel like you are dying. Because your identity is what you're after in every goal you do. You're not your real identity. Your false identity is what you're after with the goal. So is everybody with me on that? You understand how that works? So now what happens is, if you were to feel all of this all at once, every tribal law. You learned about modicum of how you speak, how you talk, what's in your words, what you even mean, how anything even works in the world would be totally up for grabs. Second chakra, you know? You could be grabbing yourself. You could be like, you know, having an orgasm on the bus. You could be doing whatever. You know it, and you know what happened. You know, be like, that's what you're afraid of. What would happen if you could be totally sexy all day long, every second, just all totally it? Oh my God! Right, exactly. And what would they say? What would they say? Oh my God! So what would happen is that. If you were to feel this, and we all say, no, I'd really love to have more pleasure. I'd really love to have more pleasure. But to get more pleasure, you would have to destroy who you think you are. Yes?
Through the years, I've had this reoccurring nightmare that I get up, I go to work, or I go to school or whatever, and I look down and I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot to get dressed today. I'm naked. Is that
me? How many have that dream?
That's me without the mask.
Right. It's you without your mask.
That's my true self that right. I'm afraid of.
Right. And how do you feel when you're naked at work?
Vulnerable.
Ah, yeah.
Horrible.
Right.
And why hasn't anybody told me?
Right. And I put this, remember, I put this mask out here in front to just demonstrate that sort of like the heaviness of it.
Yeah.
But it's a 360, baby.
It's that clothes we put on every day.
I can turn around. I still got my mask. You can't see through my mask. My mask is still going to tell you who I am. Okay. So, but when the mask falls away, you're naked.
Naked.
Right. Right.
I like that dream right. When it's naked from the waist down.
You have that
naked from the waist down. Just the lower self.
Yep.
Just the lower
self. We are. All right. So, we've talked. We've had. I think you've got a feel for this. Any question? That two pages of questions? Okay. All right. So let's take a lunch break.
Thank you for listening.
You guys,